Well, Munzee Maniacs, so welcome to episode 4 of the Munzee Maniacs podcast. I'm Kevin, and with me, as always, is my partner in crime,
PJ.
PJ, that's right. And this week, we're hoping that PJ does not sound like he's underwater in a fish tank.
That was pretty rough. I want to apologize to all the listeners out there, all 5 of you. Thank you very much for continuing to listen. We hopefully have solved that issue.
Yeah, and there are more than 5 listeners, which is great. We're approaching 300 downloads now.
Wow, thank you. That's impressive. That's fabulous. Yeah.
So the Munzee community out there is rallying around this little podcast that hopefully could. So we're back now a few updates, and then we'll get into some kind of housekeeping. But I am out of quarantine, and I am free. And I'm free of sickness and free to move around and play Munzee. So let's see. 4 COVID tests later, we're all good. Got another one tomorrow. Wow.
Well, that's very thorough.
And then I've got one on day 28, as they call it. So the following Monday, I have to have another one. So they're very, very thorough. But can't complain. It's all about safety and all of that stuff. So all of you guys out there listening, thank you so much for downloading this episode.
We should also thank them for the many kind of virtuals and thank you cards that we both have received in our neighborhoods.
Yeah, it's been absolutely fantastic. Munzee players from around the world have been showing their appreciation to PJ and I by sending greeting cards our ways and in virtuals, which is great since I'm in the process of building the city, or trying to, not building the city, but building the map, I guess. Yeah. So, guys, for all of you, if you're new to the podcast, kind of the main page is anchor.fm, but we're now on all the major podcatchers, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, all that stuff. So do a search. And for all of you out there, please spread the word of the podcast.
Please do.
Share on your Facebook groups. If you have Munzee player friends, get them to listen to. And hopefully we'll have more and more of you awesome folks listening in future episodes. Yeah. Okay. So also we do have a kind of a homepage that is munzeemaniacs.blogspot.com. And there's stuff there. I'm going to add some photos and things this week of my Munzee adventures in China. Woohoo.
Which, you know, why don't we, that's a good segue right there.
Yeah.
since a lot of our players are playing in places like a lot of Munzee players, we don't own them, are playing around the world in countries like America, Australia, or Germany that have pretty well-developed maps. Mm-hmm. And you and I have been playing in Japan that has an underdeveloped map, but a map nonetheless. Mm-hmm. When you went back to China, you embarked upon a holy crusade, a mission, if you will, to really grow the map where you are. So why don't you talk a little bit about what it's like to go in a place that has very few Munzees to begin with, but also what is the cultural environment? What kind of things do you have to think about when you're out in the field, either capping or deploying?
Okay, well, I've spent now my first week deploying physical Munzees because we're recording this on Sunday the 22nd, I believe. Yes. So it's a week ago tonight, my family and I got out of our quarantine hotel. Up until that point, I was just actually adding virtuals around the city. So obviously, you don't got to worry about much because you're just sitting in front of a laptop, right, deploying. So I've got a few initial observations. First of all, there is a lot more security here, obviously, than in Japan. meaning there are cameras everywhere. And they're like, you know, police cameras, possibly military cameras, but they're all over the streets. So when in Japan, we would stick Munzees on the police traffic light boxes, I think it's a bad idea to ever think of doing that here.
wise choice, sir.
Yeah. Anything that looks like it is some kind of government posters, messages, you know, just avoid.
Yeah.
Also, I've discovered that there seems to be less stuff to stick things to than in Japan.
Really?
Yeah. I think where I am, at least in a bit of cities, this or different neighborhoods in America and Canada and stuff, where a lot of the power lines and stuff are underground. So there's just a lot, like the less poles and less objects around to tack things to. So that's something I've discovered. Another big one is I didn't realize that how closely I'm being watched here. And I don't mean like by Big Brother kind of thing, but literally everywhere I go, there's just lots of men sitting around doing nothing. Literally just everywhere you go, there's men just sitting on bicycles, having cigarettes, sitting on e-bikes, having cigarettes, looking at their phones. And if you stop for a moment, they just stare at you and stare and stare, like watching you very closely.
Well, in particular, you stick out as a foreigner in a city that doesn't have thousands of foreigners. You do stand out.
Absolutely. So there's just this level of curiosity in a very different way than, say, Japan, even, where maybe in Osaka, people are more used to seeing foreigners around. Mm. There are cleaning staff on the streets everywhere, government-paid cleaning staff. They seem to have their own little sections of sidewalk that they maintain each day. And like my son and I went out for a Munzee walk this evening, and a Munzee I put out two nights ago in a bus stop, it's already gone.
Wow.
It had never been capped. And my son was looking for it, and I'm like, I put it right there, and it's not right there.
That's efficient cleaning. Yeah.
So what I figure now, I hit a few on bus stops yesterday, but I put them like up underneath the bus stop. And I think that's what I need to do with everything now, just kind of put it under things. But yeah, so those are just a few of the lessons I've learned. I got a funny picture today of a cool bouncer that appeared. I think it was a Clan Wars bouncer, and I couldn't get it because there was literally a cleaning guy parked on his motorcycle with a broom right in front of it, smoking a cigarette, looking at me. And I went down the road a bit and waited for a few minutes, but he was settled in. So I was like, all right, not today. But I took a selfie with him over my shoulder.
There you go. I say, at least get something out of it.
Yeah, right.
I got a very similar situation. One of your sons here in Fukushima, which is my neighborhood within Osaka. I had the night vision goggle laser thingies.
Yeah.
And I was, you know, they'll attach themselves to physicals. And I was trying to get, I got the first two, and the final one I couldn't get because there were a bunch of teenagers hanging at that part of the park. Mm-hmm. And I was just too impatient to wait. But, you know, that's part of the game. You got to breathe in, breathe out.
Yeah, nice way to put it. And you also never know where those bouncers are going to go to, right?
Yeah.
I've experienced it before where I capped one of your, I think, night vision goggles, and it threw a bouncer right into the middle of a baseball stadium. Closed, right? And then no matter where I moved around the perimeter of the baseball stadium, I can never get close enough to cap it. So those are some of the things I've learned. The map is growing. I'm going to give it about another week, and then I'm going to start introducing it to people and getting people out to play, and we'll see how that goes. I'm going to get little plastic Ziploc bags, little dime bags, so to speak, and put some Munzees in them for people. And then bring them out to play and give them some Munzees to get them started. And we'll see where it starts to go.
I think you will do well with that. I mean, of the group we have in Kansai area of Japan, it's about 30 players now. You brought about 3/4 of them. So you've got a lot of networks, and you're far more sociable than I in that respect, I think. So I think you'll do it. It's just patience and, like you said, being strategic about it.
Yeah, it'll take time. So there's some little updates, things I've learned my first week playing Munzee here on the ground in China. But, we had talked before the show. One thing I did want to talk about, as I think it's pretty timely, as in, you know, I'm a Canadian, and the numbers of COVID are going through the roof in Canada, and parts of Canada now are going under lockdown. I know if any players out there in the Toronto Peel region, that's going to be going under lockdown tomorrow. And a lot of places are like code red or whatever they call it. Every place has a different system. Mm-hmm. But even in Japan, the numbers are pretty shocking, in Tokyo and whatnot.
They are, but they're still talking about the Olympics.
Right. Nothing compared to America, but, you know, but the numbers are going up. So I was thinking about the idea, the concept of playing Munsey during the pandemic. Some of the things that, how that has affected maybe the way some people play, how it affected how we played early on, and how that may have changed and may change again. So PJ, how would you say COVID-19 has affected the way you've played Munsey this year? Maybe think if you had gotten into it in 2019 or 2018, as passionate as you are now about it, how would you say your play in a non-pandemic world would be versus right now?
Well, that's a good question. I think I'm probably playing more than I would otherwise, in part because it's one of the few activities where I can control, by proper planning, control where I go and how many people that I'm close to and close proximity to. You know me, I have my, sanitizer, my hand sanitizer and my mask, and I have my go bag for Munsey. And yeah, I look on the map before I leave the house, and I'm strategic about it. I'm not planting as many in the downtown areas of Umeda or Shinsaibashi or Tennoji. I planted some there, but when I do go to those areas, I pick times where maybe there are less people on the street so I can practice social distancing a little bit more easily. Mm-hmm. But I would say that outside of those areas, you know, quiet neighborhoods, cities like Osaka, and I'm sure it's the same with cities around the world, have tons and tons of areas that have relatively low traffic during certain times of the day. And, you know, with being at home working, I'm a teacher and I'm teaching remotely. So I'm teaching from this computer desk right here. I don't get enough exercise and I'm not going to the gym like I used to. I find that Munsey provides some physical exercise, and yet I can still avoid people as long as I have my mask on and the hand sanitizer. I'm keeping distance of many meters from anybody. As we've talked about before, unlike some different types of hobbies and activities, you don't have to, if you're capping, you don't have to touch anything, right? You're just scanning something in. I'm not afraid to touch things. I think the research now shows that touching things is not too serious as long as you keep your hands away from your nose and your eyes and, you know, the danger zones. But for me, I feel that actually Munsey has provided, I'm actually doing it more than I would have before because I had other physical activities. I went to the gym. I would go out to restaurants with friends, activities of which I've largely suspended. Munsey has taken up the slack. How about for you?
I would say the same in many ways. I mean, you know, I think when I first came to Japan during the pandemic and, you know, before the borders closed and I got stuck there, you know, we had some friends who were apprehensive about going out and playing the game and stuff. And then that first neighborhood that I was living in, Mitejima there, I mean, I explained to you how it is basically like a ghost town in the evening. It's in the middle of a metropolis, but in the evenings, there's no one on the streets. The streets were empty where I would play. And you, I remember you coming there one evening and saying, "You're right, Kevin, you weren't exaggerating. Like, it's like the zombie apocalypse waiting for some, you know, zombies to knock over some trash cans and come towards me." But I think that, for example, around that same time period, I think before Japan had kind of gone into a lockdown there, I remember there was like a 24-hour gym had just opened up in the neighborhood, and I'd looked at it saying, "That'd be nice to go to." And then I can remember my wife, who was actually sitting in another part of the room right now, saying, "What are you, crazy, Kevin? You can't go to a gym." Yeah. That's like the worst. Like, and they do consider those like danger zones, hot zones, because there are so many people touching things, so much, you know, fluids being expelled around the room. So yeah, it gave me a reason. It gave me something to do that I wouldn't have had. So I walked more than I think I ever have in my life. And a big drive behind that was because, number one, we were going to less places. We weren't going to shopping malls as much. We weren't going to restaurants as much. We weren't going out drinking. We weren't going to pubs or bars. I know the two of us, you and I, whenever I visit Japan, we usually get together and go out for some drinks. But we actually, the entire time I was there, we never went. No, we didn't go somewhere. Like you came to my house and I'd go to your house, or we'd meet in a park or something, but we never went places because of the COVID, right? Because of that fear. So, you know, I think it was a nice, safe, healthy diversion.
Exactly. I would agree. It's something you can do with a mask on and as much protective equipment as you choose to have or not to have. And therefore, I think it was healthy. It gave us something to do. It was an activity, a direction. Okay, we're going to walk in this neighborhood tonight. Or if we wanted to do a downtown area, well, let's do it when no one's there. Let's Sunday morning or.
Yeah.
So as long as people are the slightest bit strategic, to me, this is a perfect game, a perfect activity to still encourage you to get outside and to get exercise, and for not just physical, but mentally, you need to get out of your home.
Yeah, right.
Right, you do. And this is a place to do it and yet still be controlled about where you're going. And, you know, we weren't inside. You know, you don't place Mondays inside of shopping malls or private facilities like restaurants or, you know, stores. So we'd be having our masks on and we'd be outside where it's a lot safer. And it provided a, not just a hobby activity, but for mental and physical health, it really, I think, helped get me through this last year.
Well, I know even with you, and I know your bicycle is not in the best, you know, running condition at the moment, but I remember you actually spending a lot of time on your bicycle, and I'm going to assume that's more than you probably had in some time, when at night you would, after you'd finished work, you'd just be cycling around, you know, deploying and capping onesies, right?
Exactly. Yeah, I was nodding there and realized, well, people can't hear me nod.
Yeah, no, they can't. So that protective deodorant to prevent the COVID, right? No, wait. A special deodorant we put on our hands. But I mean, we've even had, I mean, and I, it's not just other people. I mean, early on, I was apprehensive about using public transportation. And when you do live in a big city, often you're reliant. Now, I know a lot of the folks that are listening to this podcast, you know, if you're in America or Canada or Europe, you probably have your own car, you know, which makes things safer. But when you are in the heart of a big city, you know, again, like I know both of us are often reliant on public transportation. Do you think you may be again hesitant about using public transportation in order to play the game?
No. Research, I'm a quasi academic, and research has been pretty clear. There have been quite a few studies in Asia. There was one in Beijing, one in Singapore, or was it? I think it was Singapore. A couple in Japan, and they all say the same thing. I believe they also one in New York that looked at subways and trains as potential super spreader locations. And generally speaking, they're not. Probably the reason is most people are masked when they are. When you're commuting to and from someplace.
Yep.
So that once I saw that, I saw the research and I felt like I could trust it. You know, I think it was gradual. I think you and I first discussed it. We got on a few trains and we would take a short trip, you know, and then it gradually it became more and more comfortable. And now I'm almost back to normal train and subway usage. I make sure I always have an extra mask because we both experience breakage. And it happened. So if you're in public transportation, make sure you have a second or third mask.
Yeah.
Why do I keep saying deodorant?
I don't know.
Hand sanitizer. But other than that.
Hygiene.
Well, yes. Anything to keep yourself clean. And I've learned, you talked about before where you had an old habit of biting your fingers and you learned to stop doing that, biting your nails. And that was before, wasn't it?
That was because my son bites his fingernails and I did too. So I told him back in the fall, if I could stop, you know, let's stop together. So I stopped biting my fingernails last October and just happened to be good timing.
Good timing. Very good timing.
I did not put my hands in my mouth anymore. Now I've got even more motivation to not take it up again, not take up that hobby.
There you go. There's a hobby you don't want. But yeah, I've just learned I don't, when I'm outside of my house, I don't touch my face. You know, I'm not scratching my eyes or playing with my nose or just things like that. And I think if you use just a modicum of common sense, you can still do these types of outdoor activities in relative safety. And as you pointed out, especially here in Asia, we don't have a choice. Car ownership is very rare, particularly if you're in the city. It's very rare, and you've got to get around by subways and trains and the like.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, we've already touched on that part a little bit, but one the term that flies around a lot these days, pre-pandemic even, is well-being, right? And there's value to this, though. I mean, if anything, a lot of us have, I mean, how many people have lost jobs? How many people have lost businesses? How many people have lost loved ones? You know, how many teachers out there are scared to death of having to go to school for fear they're going to be catching something from students, and how many parents are frightened to death of sending their kids to school? And, you know, there, it's a very stressful time, unlike most people have ever experienced. You know, and I think that this game is fantastic for well-being. I guess we've already alluded to that. We've shared a few examples. Is there anything else that you can think of, any times that you've been, you know, in the last, say, 9 months, 10 months, that, you know, the game has brought you some happiness that maybe you wouldn't have had if you weren't engaged in the hobby?
Oh, wow. I think we've really touched on it already. Like I said, just that idea that particularly when we were in the earlier stages of the soft lockdown, which happened in Japan, the idea that there was a reason to go out, because I was just initially just going out for grocery shopping or bare necessities, and you almost become afraid to go out, but then you get depressed staying indoors all the time.
Yeah,
having a reason to go out in a relatively safe way. You know, I'm in a back streets of a neighborhood that is underpopulated, with my mask on and everything, and it actually kind of helped me learn to adjust just to the new world, the new realities that we all have to deal with. Going out for a hobby made it easier to go out and do my grocery shopping and do other things, because I just got used to, you know, I have my mask, I have the sanitizer. I said it correctly that time.
That's right, you did.
Yeah, and they're all in my go bag, and yeah, so I would say there's that. It's the routine of going out. I was trying, one of my goals was to have a daily cap and deploy, even if it was just one or two. And therefore getting out every day. When I'd be working, you know, my apartment is not just my apartment anymore. It's my workspace. And so you need to be able to get out of where you work to relax a little bit.
Well, that kind of reminds me of, and I'm sure you've already noticed the pattern of when I leave greeting cards for you, you notice I never put them where you could cap them from your house. And they often have, and I do that too for our friend, Sarah, who's, I'm sure, listening to this, who lives in Akashi. When I leave, I know she goes out walking her dog every night, but even for you, I know I'm always trying to encourage them, like, get out, and I'll call them, like, you know, a night walker, get out of the house, PJ, or something like that, right?
And it literally says that in either the title or the description of the Munzee. PJ, you're going to have to walk for this one.
Yep.
Which I would anyway, sir. But it's appreciated, right? Nonetheless.
I'm giving you a goal. But for me, one thing that pops in my mind, and not about me so much, but about being a father during the pandemic, how when we were in Osaka, my kids didn't have the access to playmates as much as they would have in the past in games. Socializing. So I have some fantastic memories, even like really early on, of the three of us, myself, you, and my son, who's Batman Kai, that's his username, the three of us getting out and going to places, going to, you know, getting on the train and just having some really fun days of playing Munzee together. And that, I know that was really good for him. And he really enjoyed that. And he'd come home and he'd have, you know, stories to share of you and of Uncle PJ pushing him out of the way to get a Munzee.
Hey. He played dirty as I did. He knew how to, what is it? He had game, I believe the term is.
Yes, he still does. But yeah.
So. Yeah, we both liked a good race from time to time when my knees permitted it. Because I tell you, my 52-year-old knees sometimes make more noise than than what? I don't know. I don't know how to finish that sentence, but nonetheless. But like you said, getting out as a group.
The train derailing.
Well, that's extreme, but okay. But like you said, it was getting out in groups and small groups with people. We met other players in Osaka Park. You had arranged a couple of get-togethers. And we're outside in a park where the wind is blowing and we're able to keep distance, so it's safe. But at the same point in time, you're getting that important human contact and a common activity together.
Yeah.
Which really, I think, helped the morale of all of us.
Yeah, no, absolutely. No, definitely. And I'm sure all of you out there listening can agree with us. And I'm sure you all have some great stories and experiences during these COVID times with playing the game yourselves. You know what? I don't want to keep people too long because we want to keep these a little bit tight so we can kind of wrap things up, PJ, okay, for this week. You know what, guys? I wasn't thinking of doing a podcast this week, but then I just got the itch. I wanted the podcast, which is, it's great to have the time. To do it. Just finding a room in my house with a good internet connection isn't always the easiest. But yeah, so I guess really that's kind of it for this week's podcast, folks. Now, you can, of course, find the podcast over at munzeemaniacs.blogspot.com. Just if you haven't, if this is the first time you're listening to it, if you want to subscribe, we're on all the platforms, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, all that stuff, Anchor. Yeah, so spread the word, share.
Do, yes.
Help us grow. We're not, you know, we don't have pipe dreams of becoming professional Munzee podcasters, but it's, you know, nice to get more players listening. Yeah, so.
Someday we would like to have them on. We'll have several guest speakers come in, because you're going to get tired, as wonderful as Kevin and I are, you're going to get tired of just us. So we will have other guests upon once we get a little bit more established and comfortable with the routine.
Absolutely, folks. Once we kind of sort out and iron out it's episode 4, and we've had some bumps here and there tech wise, and
you probably heard last episode number 3.
But you know, we are definitely going to be having guests on. It is you know, the plan we have will be each episode to have a different guest on talking about a different topic, a different viewpoint, playing in different countries, different cities. People who organize events, people, we're going to be talking, you know, people talking about clan wars, Z-Ops, all those kind of things, which actually just reminds me, talking about different things, we've totally forgot. We were going to mention briefly some news, Munzee news. So the first thing that pops into my mind, by the way, is the new Christmas thing that's coming out.
Holiday Card Collectors Club, which is an awkward title, HCCC. I believe it is.
Yes. I'll be participating in this one. I'm not sure what tier yet.
I've already signed up to tier 3.
Yeah, that'll be tier 2 or tier
3. Kevin, could you explain the tiers roughly? For listeners may not know.
Basically, tier 1 is you will be sent 31 greeting cards. So a greeting card for every day in December. I'm not sure exactly how it works, if they send them to your home location or
somewhere. You get what? Because mine's already in place. You basically pick a spot. It's a Munzee that only you can see. It's a virtual, and you plop it down, and you can move it, but you plop it down, and mine's about 40 meters from my house, and then every day they're going to deliver there a greeting card.
Now, I wonder, can multiple people cap it?
No, so only you can see it.
Oh, okay.
So it's invisible to everyone else. Only the deployer can see it.
Okay.
And right now, we're not getting the greeting cards. We can still cap every day. So I'm using it as part of my daily cap goals.
Almost as if it were a places?
Yeah.
Okay. So on December 1st, the cards will go in.
That's my understanding, yes.
Okay. How many points do you get now for...
I think it's just 10. I could be wrong on this. I'm scanning it. I can't see... I believe it's 10.
Okay. So the tier 2 is you get the 31 cards, a card each day in your mailbox, plus you also have 31 that you can deploy. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. And then tier 3 would be both of those, plus you will get a temporary POB. You're going to get yourself a bouncer?
Yep.
A Santa bouncer, some kind of robot Santa bouncer. So
Cyborg Santa bouncer.
Yeah. And then I think on December 1st, that will automatically be deployed by Munzee HQ and will fly out into the world and bounce around and collect you capons.
And there may be other bonuses. They imply there may be other bonuses.
With your wild. Yeah. Cool.
I went ahead and went with, it's funny. I was talking to you and another player, Sarah, and we were chatting and she said, "Oh, you're going to get three." And she's right. I did. I intended to get tier two, so I could send cards to you and other players, you know, that I know.
Yeah.
But I was just looking, why not? You know me, I always order. If there's an A, B, and C menu option for lunch, I'll get the largest lunch, even if I'm not hungry. So I did get it. And we'll see if it's worth it in the end. But it is nice to have, again, something. One of the things I like about Munzee is that they're always trying with bouncers and different kinds of virtuals. There's always something new. And right now it gives you something to look forward to or focus on.
Well, especially since so many people are going to be locked down during the holidays.
Yes.
No joke. And I'm not joking there. It's great to have new things like this, something refreshing, something new to do while you're in the situation.
And one of the nice things about this one, because you can only see it, you can literally place it right on top of your house or apartment. It's a virtual mailbox that things will come to you. So you don't even have to go out. If you're in a situation where you have to have a very strict form of lockdown, then tier one or tier two is something you could quite easily do.
Cool. Cool. All right. So PJ, where can people find you online if they want to connect?
Thank you for the question, sir. I would say that the easiest spot to find me is my Instagram account. It's Kansai_P_PEE_JAY. That is kind of my central location. I do have a Twitter and, you know, Facebook and such, but I'd prefer people make initial contact from Instagram and we can go from there. How about you, Kevin? Where can people find you?
Well, you can find me over on Twitter at MAD4Maple, M-A-D for Maple, me being a Canadian. I'm pretty active on Twitter. Another place where you can reach out to us is over, we have an email address now. So munzeemaniacs@gmail.com. If you want to be on the show, a few people have already reached out to us about a few different topics. munzeemaniacs@gmail.com. Shoot us an email. And then, of course, for all the links, go to munzeemaniacs.blogspot.com. Lots of stuff over there.
Yeah.
So that's where you can find us, guys. Thank you so much for listening to the show. Again, remember, please share the podcast and help us grow. Yeah.
And thank you for listening today.
Yeah. All right, guys, take care, and we'll be talking to you real soon.
Bye-bye.